Hello, welcome to the Reflective Meditation Podcast. We're so glad you're here. In each episode, we offer a short Dharma talk that discusses the Dharma and how it may appear in our daily lives. So sit back, relax, and enjoy. After the talk, you're invited to meditate for 15 minutes or as long as you please. And then, if you wish, we also invite you to journal about anything that came up for you in your meditation.
So the title of my talk is Confessions of a Newly Anxious Person. When did this happen? Anxiety as a response to the stressors of life. A low thrum of electric dis-ease when challenges arise, often centered in what Tai Chi defines as the lower Dantian, an energy center with the potential for manifestation. A level of physical sensation and general unease of spirit emanates. When I was younger, my go-to reactivity to the inevitable sufferings that are the stuff of life leaned toward depression, a turning inward and against myself, developing habits of self-loathing and blame. Coming from a lineage of alcoholism, drug abuse, and family violence, was fertile ground for installing these habits of coping and survival to take root and flourish. Throw in the mix of an Irish Catholic parochial school education, and the stew was flavored with confusion and misdirection about the nature of my suffering. What relief it was to embrace the first noble truth of dukkha when that moment arrived in later life. For my formational world created the illusion that the agony was centric to my life and my creation, my responsibility to bear, and that the inquiry into what was wrong with me would lead me out of it and toward a more holy and better life. To begin this miseducation as a small child, in reaction to the conditions of my life, carved deep the grooves of my sankharas, or habits of being. As an adult, years of seeking and gathering resources, building an inner first aid kit and trauma, an inner first aid and trauma kit to tend to these habitual response patterns provided a new lens and the ability to sort out what's mine and what's not. But of course, it is a lifelong process that requires vigilance and the opening of and closing of the heart again and again. The grooves and creases of habit remain, but are softened, and the relief of the first aid kit, the kindness and curiosity towards what is difficult, has the potential to be more readily accessible. Years of stumbling, intentional pursuits to understand myself, and the gradual wisdom gained through life experience were worthy endeavors. The recognition of the conditionality of circumstances comes more readily into view. And of course, those old reactions of self-blame, confused questioning, hyper-responsibility for fixing all things are still with me. But the grooves have softened over time, transitioning into self-inquiry and examination in what I do and don't have power over and healthier boundaries. A wider lens and understanding of conditionality has been one of the most powerful antidotes. Being human will always present the opportunity to practice, to rifle through my first aid supplies, to find an antidote that is right-sized to the wounds and challenges of everyday living, especially in these days of amplified sufferings in our world. So back to the newness of anxiety. This new sensitivity and response to situations. Here's a recent example. This past December, late in the month, after weeks of research and decision-making, I bought a round-trip cross-country plane ticket. I'm not easy with flying for many reasons, but was excited about this trip because it was for a 3-week visit with my daughter. Just over a week after I bought my ticket, the now infamous Boeing 7337 incident, in which a door plug blew out after taking off from Portland, from the Portland airport, occurred. I could not stop thinking about it. The incident brought all of my relatively normal fears about flying into a full-blown monster. Fortunately, I had 3 months to prepare for the experience and soothe myself. The initial raw fear and following period of anxiety took a lot of work to get through. No surprise, the exploration of the anxiety led to the many crises and plane crashes of my childhood. With therapy and the exploration of how my strong anxiety dipped into the waters of childhood trauma, and lots of encouragement from friends, I was at ease before my trip. And throughout that process, meditation, a recognition of conditionality, kindness, and curiosity were essential tools that saw me through. And the experience of flying was smooth, and I was relaxed, or as relaxed as one can be when hustling through airports and plane travel. This past week, friends were in from out of town, and we had a lovely day together. While planning our day for them before they arrived, I was aware that my new friend Anxiety was with me. I am not at ease as a city driver. I plan routes and timing to avoid traffic and gridlock and freeways. But once I had picked up my friends, the joy of their presence melted away my anxiety about driving. My friend described an experience they had at OMSI the day before the Oregon Museum of Science and Industry. After going through an exhibition, he heard a young boy say to his parents with awe and wonder, "I never knew all that before." My friend said that was a moment, and we were witness to it. We talked and shared about various moments in our lives that had a lasting, sometimes lifelong effect. Epiphanies, the beauty of that child's moment and his parents had us all in deep appreciation and gratitude for being alive to experience such moments. I've been reflecting on that experience and how much widening the lens is part of the impermanence of my newfound state of anxiety. And one final anxiety example. Yesterday, I needed to take my car to a DEQ, and for those non-Oregonians, it's Department of Environmental Quality, a DEQ station in Portland for an emissions check and registration renewal. I've done this before. I know where the place is, but there is a bit of spaghetti road factor that always confuses me in getting there. So I pore over Google Maps to try and ingrain the route in my head. Well, I chose the wrong strand of spaghetti and had to weave my way back to the route. And when I arrived in line to wait my turn, I realized that my hands were gripping the steering wheel and my entire body was poised as though for an attack. What a relief it was to let go of that and breathe. When my turn came, all was good and unremarkable until I went into the booth to pay my fees. As I was paying, I asked if the young man who had tested my car and processed my form needed my proof of insurance. He replied no, and that my form was filled out perfectly, but, and I thought, oh no, what did I miss? He said, "Do you really like quality pens?" I was surprised by the question and stammered a bit. "Why, yes, I am obsessed with ink pens and have my favorites." He said that he loved my handwriting and wanted to give me a present. He went to a side table and pulled out of a backpack an elegant notebook case, and then took out a pen and said, "This is my favorite pen, and I want you to have it." I was stunned by this moment. It was a moment. He brought tears to my eyes, and I brought tears to his with my appreciation of gratitude and amazement at his presence to the moment. During our brief encounter, he saw my handwriting and intuitively knew that we had a connection. It was a moment. I began to turn and go to my car, and he laughed and said, "Wait a minute, but this is what you really came for," and handed me my paperwork and tags. I was about to walk away without them. As I drove away, I felt so grateful for this moment of deep human connection and awe. In a strange way, there are many fruits to this new experience of anxiety in my life. These moments have been an opportunity to be present to what is and to explore with open curiosity. And when the shift comes, when the anxiety eases, the impermanence of the condition shows itself, and the noticing of these shifts have been meaningful moments of awareness. That's the end of my talk.
We now invite you to meditate in a position that's comfortable for you for 15 minutes. This can be longer or shorter. There are no hard and fast rules. After your meditation, try journaling about your experience. Was there anything in your meditation that made you curious? If you'd like to join us daily, we meet daily online between 9 a.m. and 10 a.m. US Pacific Time. The link to join us can be found at reflectivemeditation.org/daily online. And if you'd like to support our work, please head to reflectivemeditation.org/daily online to offer a donation. Any dana would be gratefully received. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time.